Turn to Mark chapter 10. While you turn there, the theme of this chapter is the servant's doctrine. And as we get into the message tonight about the servant's doctrine, he's teaching on marriage, children, wealth, the wealthy, the gospel, the disciples, and healing and everything in this chapter. And he goes through all this. And as we look in Mark chapter 10, there's 52 verses, 1,218 words, every one of them inspired by God and preserved in our King James Bible. People, listen, context is everything. Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words. How long are they kept? Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, the words, context. Verse 1, the words, context. Okay? So if your Bible were to say, thou shalt keep us forever in that next verse, that'd be totally out of line and out of context. Hello, ESV, NIV, HIV, and whoever else. We want the pure words of God, and if Jesus said they'd be somewhere, they're here. They're here. As we look in Mark chapter 10, verse 1, and he arose from thence and cometh unto the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. As he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house of his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. As we look tonight at this message, I'm going to preach to you tonight on the master in marriage. The master in marriage. Not my opinion in marriage, not your opinion in marriage, but the master in marriage. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we thank you, Lord God, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, Lord God, that you'd help us tonight and open our understanding according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Lord, that where your word says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, please teach us the scriptures tonight. Help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look tonight, I made a list of four things of why do liberal churches avoid doctrine. And this is what I believe why they avoid doctrine. Their leadership does not know how to preach and teach difficult subjects. If they had to get up and tell you, if they had to tell you why something seems like a contradiction is in the Bible, in order to keep your faith in the scriptures, since they think it's a contradiction, they would never say a word about it. They don't know how to deal with stuff like that. Secondly, their leadership does not stand on the Bible as the final authority. Therefore, most of their messages are not scriptural messages. That's why they're not doctrinal messages. They're some kind of psychological baloney that they learn from somebody else. I keep people, they tell me all the time, boy, we just love Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley's not even a good amateur psychologist, and he's been trying to do that for 40 years. Here's a man who said these very words. Listen, when he went to Atlanta all them years ago from up here at Hendersonville, North Carolina, he left a church up there and went down there. He said, if I ever divorce my wife, I will resign as the pastor of this church because of what the Bible said. You fast forward that down to the time when his divorce came final, and you know what he said? God told me to stay here. Now, one of them God didn't tell him. But did you hear how I worded the first thing? He never said God told him to quit if he did. Could it be he didn't believe the scriptures all them years ago? Listen, I'm too old to fuss about this anymore, but I'm going to tell you something. If I'm at a place and it's a church service, not a funeral or something where you just hate to get up and walk out, but I have before. That's when I was young and mean. They think I'm mean now. But if they say I'll be reading from whatever, I'll just leave. I've done been beat to death and have to hear the words, cease my son from instruction that causeth thee to err. There's nothing they're going to tell me out of that Bible I can't get out of this one. And plus, if they're going to have to add or take away just to make it read like this one, I ain't going to sit under that no more. I don't care who it is. I don't care how. Boy, this is a blessing. It made me cry when I hear it. It's going to make me cry to get up and walk out. I'm going to cry and listen to it. Amen. Listen, I ain't doing that no more. But when it comes to a matter of the Bible, these people, they don't stand on the Bible as the final authority. Number three, the membership does not want to hear clear Bible messages, and there's a reason why. And it's because of number four. The membership does not want to hear what they know. They don't live what the Scripture says. It's like the old man said one time. He said, it's not what I know about the Bible, what I don't know about the Bible that troubles me. It's what I don't know. And nowadays, these liberal churches are full of people who are in sin that don't want to hear about it. I had a prominent businessman tell me he went to a church where there's a man and woman pastor and all that. He said, I like that church because they don't judge you there. The sermons are not on hellfire and damnation and blah, blah, blah. I said, good, you'll love our church. Come this Sunday.
Amen, preacher.
I don't think we're like that. You don't think we're like that. So what's the deal with these people? I'll tell you what it is. If you are in sin and know it, you don't want to be reminded three times a week. They've already fixed that. It's only one time a week now. I love how they can call off two services, never call off any of their paycheck. Boy, that's a real con man right there. If they have to say, well, you know, when they start talking, they're lying about something or they're not wanting to tell you the whole truth about it, one. Go ahead and tell us how you got that great big old building and run all them people, but you can't get not 25% of them to come back for Sunday night service. And it's not because they're at home fasting and praying, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. I know. So here's some question and answer sessions with the master that he gives about marriage here I want to go over tonight. The first question and answer session down at verse 1. Here's the question of divorce he brings up in verse 1 and 2. And there's a difference shown between those who love Jesus and those who don't. Those that love our Lord follow him in verse 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he wont, he taught them again. What'd he teach them? He's obviously teaching something again. Okay? They want to follow him. You know, I've been to a singing recently, and it was really good. It was the old Inspiration Quartet. I had four young guys there, and they were very honorable toward the men that had went on and so forth. And for about the first hour, they didn't none of them cry, throw their shoes, or all this other stuff, or any of that business, or bootleg preach. They sang for one solid hour. And they sang the old songs. I could have sang along with him if they'd let me up there. He knew the parts. I'd done all of them. But listen to me. It didn't bother for me to hear it again.
That's right.
If you knew I was going to preach the same message Sunday morning, would you come back and hear it?
Amen.
Would you even know I preached the same message twice in a row?
Oh, wow.
Probably not, yeah. I read a statistic one time. It was really scary. It said that the average Baptist church has to hear something 50 times before they know they heard it. So what I just told you is I already preached this 49 times, the last 49 services, and you ain't figured it out yet, so we're going to do it again at 50th tonight. And if you don't believe that, go listen to the last 49 services again. They're online. But listen, it don't bother me to say sing it again because I can hear it preached again, too. But I noticed that those that love him follow him anyway. He preached the same thing again to them. They didn't seem to mind. But those that don't follow him or love him, they come to him questioning him, like these Pharisees in verse 2 where it says, and the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Watch this, tempting him. Now that right there, buddy, that's, you talking about out of line. Who tempts people? Have you figured out what team they're playing for? You know, we just really seriously had that message. I mean, that was like, was that the last one or the one before or the one before that or something like that? I believe that they don't love him. And it shows a difference because they wasn't following him there to love him. They were there to tempt him.
Right.
Now, when you look at that, there's an odd thing about guys like this where they want to know or find out how to be divorced rather than how to fix the marriage. Okay? They didn't say, I'm in a bad situation. Can you tell me something to help me out? My wife's a seven-horned devil. Can you help me out? They're just trying to figure out a way out just in case they need one. And I read that and read that thinking, who would ask that kind of question of our Lord to how to break it instead of how to fix it? That don't make any sense. But as I look in Leviticus 21, I read this today. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, speaking to the priests, the sons of Aaron. Now that's the whole priestly tribe there. And saying to them, there shall none be defiled from the dead from among his people. And it goes on down to verse 7. And then says, they shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. They had that scripture right there probably in their under their arm right then. But yet they were coming to Jesus saying, how to break this thing instead of how to fix it. Okay? And the questions put forth is this, is the question of divorce. And the Lord answers with the question of creation. Look down at verse number 6 down there. Here is the institutor of marriage. He says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Now get that thing. God made them that way. That lets me know from this point forward when Jesus said that, if I want to know what marriage biblically is defined, I find it in the first three chapters of the Bible. Man and woman. That means two men, God will never honor that, nor will he honor two women. Listen, I've seen this sodomite crowd say, you don't understand what love is. I'm afraid I do. But I also understand what a pervert is. By the way, when you're like that, what's a pervert to them? Biblically defined, that is. What would they say to one? You know what this Bible says is one? Them.
Right.
Listen, if you go to the Bible and try to prove sin with the Bible, you're like one of them people that says, well, David committed adultery and God loved him as a matter of God's own heart. That ain't why that's in the Bible.
Right.
That falls under 1 Corinthians 10 where it says that God let an Old Testament written to show you a pattern of things. You got some in samples over there, living patterns of what happened. That don't mean you go repeat the pattern.
Right.
Just because Eve said the devil made me do it don't mean you say go the devil made me do it.
Uh-huh.
Just because Adam said, no, it was the woman that thou gavest me, Lord, or I'd be sinless right now. Just because he's stupid don't mean you got to be stupid with him.
Right.
Hey, listen, just because Peter cut off a man's ear don't mean you got to go cut off a man's ear. By the way, that's before he is converted. Just because Peter cussed don't mean you should. That also is before he is converted. Makes that more interesting, that story then, don't it? So when he get converted, somebody breathed on him and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whenever that happened, that was when they got the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Everything else, they were subject, seems like. They seem running around with a lost man while he's doing all that. And what's so bad is, when Jesus told them, there's one of you that's going to betray me, they said, is it me?
Right.
They all thought it was them. They had no idea it was Judas. I bet the only guy that didn't say, is it me, was Judas, and he knew. And he probably lied and said, well, is it me, Lord? Knowing he's the one the whole time. Knowing what he is fixing to go do. But when we look at that institute of marriage, he says from the beginning of creation, God made a male and female. Verse 7, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. Now let me give you something right quickly about that. Verse 7 is the sure way to make a divorce happen. If you do opposite what that says. Okay? If every day your wife comes home and your mom and her mother and father-in-law sitting there telling her husband, telling your husband what she should have been doing the whole time you've been gone and how, what an awful witch you are and all that. That's W-I-C-H, by the way. Rewind the tape. That's what I said. And in case of any of that stuff's going on, he said, you ladies, that's right, preacher. You tell him. I'm telling you as well. But by the way, it did say a man, didn't it? It didn't say if a woman's mama did. It's a man's got to do it. And I think that's addressed to a particular class of people. That's those that can't say no to their parents. Okay. Here's the deal. When you turn 18 years old in South Carolina, you are an adult. Two things. Job, apartment. Remember that. Remember them two things right there. Job, apartment. And when you're 17, you ought to be saving up for the down payment on one or the other. Okay? So I can't get a job. Nobody hire me. Listen, I lived in the city. There's always somebody knocking on the door, rake leaves, cut grass, something. Now, they look like hoodlums, and I wouldn't hire them because I don't let hoodlums work in my yard. That's why you have to bring Nate and nobody else when you come. But anyway, but when you look at something, I mean, they're wanting to do something. I thought they might have been wanting to case the joints when I didn't let them. Maybe, maybe. I don't know. I ain't never seen them people before. They said they live beside me, but Tree lived beside me. They don't live with him, so I knew they was lying about something. I guess they didn't realize I was living there when Trey, when old Tree moved in up there, you know. But I looked at that situation. I said, man, anybody can get a job. I went to look at mobile homes about 6-8 months ago, just to look. And I went on the lot and I said, how much that one cost? He told me, do this, Brother Kirsch. It was $200,000 for a double wide mobile home. I told you not to listen. I told you in advance. And I tried to warn him. And when the guy told me that, I said, let's say I wanted it. How quick could you get it to the house or the land, whatever? You know what he's saying? Oh, it'd take me 11 months to get it built. Mercy. I said, my goodness, man, I used to work for Rick Kirby. It don't take 11 months to build a house. He said, but you got to have employees that show up to the job to get the work done. I said, why do you not have said employees coming to the job to get the nails driven or whatever it is you do? He said, because of Joe Biden, sir, that's why. He said, that government unemployment, they're making twice what I'm paying. I thought, wow. So I was talking to a guy the other day about mobile homes. I said, by the way, how long it taking to get one there now? He said, would you believe it takes almost 6 months for them to build one? I said, 6 months? My God, who would have thought such? I said, how come it's taking this long? And he said, because now they're coming back from that unemployment because they ain't giving it out anymore and they haven't got jobs. There's jobs out there. Any restaurant in town that says you can't eat inside, they got a help wanted sign on it. They want you to come in and work. I tried to get Brother Kirschman was out in Arkansas to let's go in for a McDonald's interview because I was giving $300 out to go to work there. And the interview was at 3 o'clock that day. I said, the numbers are lining up. 300. He said, I bet you got to be there for 3 months. I said, no, I want my money before I go to work. And then I'm going to call in sick and hop on an airplane that day. Can you imagine McDonald's offering you $300 signing bonus just to come? That's like what the NFL used to give the teams back in the 60s. $300. Wonder what scam got. Oh, please come quarterback us. We ain't got no help. And then he got there and they didn't have a quarterback anyway. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Oh, for what? I'd rather give it to the guy at McDonald's. At least he'll show up for 4 hours a day sometimes. But as we look at the Institutor of Marriage, that's our Lord, he says this is the way you do it. He said, the twain shall be one flesh. And then he shows the institution of marriage. He says, wherefore, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Okay? So he gives the answer of creation. The way God originally designed it is still supposed to be like that to the day of the rapture of the church. But the second set of questions and answers will really bring about something here. And that's this. You got the question of the disciples in verse 10. says in the house of, verse 10, in the house, his disciples asked him again the same matter. And I had to ask myself this. They were standing there. Was the answer clear? Do you think the answer was clear on what he just told them? Okay. And were they expecting a different answer behind closed doors than he would have said in public? What would you think if you went to a church and your pastor would preach one thing public, but when you get off the side, he says, I didn't want to really believe. Jesus said, in secret have I taught you nothing. He preached the same thing both publicly and privately. And in to answer his questions here, the questions of the disciples, his answer is this. Concerning the men, he said in verse 11, he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. Concerning the women, he said, if a woman shall put away her husband and marry to another, she committeth adultery. The word committeth means one time. One time. Okay? If you've ever heard the term, they have two living wives, or she has two living husbands, let me tell you where you got that from. That comes from the Roman Catholic Church. You say, well, that can't be, because I know Roman Catholics have been married 3 or 4 times or 10 times or 7 times, like Harley Race or whatever. We know about that. I said, no. They got married one time in the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church still counts that one, and they don't count divorces. Do you know how the Church of England came into existence? The Episcopalian Church? A king wanted to divorce his wife. The Pope told him, you can't do that. We don't allow that. He said, how big is your army? And the Pope said, I don't have one. He said, we'll be pulling out of your church right now, and I'm the new Pope for the Church of England. It's all about who's got the money and the guns, ain't it? That's a clue enough for you not to give up yours. And when they done that, thus we have the Anglican, then in America, the Episcopalian Church. So what's that mean in the Greek? Catholic light. Yep. Catholic 1.2. Yep. So when you hear that term, know that's where that came from. Right. Now, the third set of questions and answers are going to be really something. We got the question of interpretation in verse 3, because Jesus asked those Pharisees this, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. If they knew that, why did they ask him that? Yep. Now, that's an interesting question there. Why did they ask him that? They already knew the answer. Did they think he wouldn't know the answer? Did they think he would say something differently than previously said? Did they think while they had a crowd around, they'd ask him something controversial and he'd avoid it? That's what they thought. But the answer came from inspiration in verse 5. Their question of interpretation shows it with the answer from inspiration. And Jesus answered and said unto them, here's the exact reason, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. He wrote you this precept. And the precept, Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and send her out of his house. Ain't that something? If you don't like her, just put her away. We don't care. We've been married 2 weeks now, and, well, the honeymoon's over. I guess it's time to re-up. You know what's funny is when you see people together and the man traded in his old wife in on a 25-year-old younger one, and she don't realize that when she gets a little gray in her hair, he's going to trade up on her too. And the man may not remember this, but were he done that, the Bible said you will reap what you sow. It'd be funny if she runs off with a younger man than him. Yep. I mean laughing funny. It will happen. Anytime you break up another marriage, you start one, you can be guaranteed somewhere that's going to come to pass. God don't sit back and go, yeah, well, I understand. And, you know, that's what your sinful buddy says. That ain't what the Holy God says. Now watch this. We got the answer from inspiration there, but then you got a fourth set of questions and answers that show up. And in Matthew 19, under the same passage, listen, Matthew 19, verse 10 through 12, the Bible says, "His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry." Hey, we can be Catholic priests. We ought to get married. By the way, they married up till 1100. And then the Pope said, no more. You can't have a wife. You're going to be a father. Ain't it funny how the guy that's father ain't married? Have y'all ever thought about that before? Ain't got no kids. Well, they may have some. There was a book written by a guy named Father Chinque that got saved and come out of it. And he said everywhere he preached that, he could about spot the kids. It was the priest's kids in that church. He finally figured it out. Somebody ain't staying celibate. And where was the problem happening? Listening to sin in that confessional. Listen to this. "But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb." That means they can't. "And there are eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men." That's people that was made that way after the fact. "And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." So they bring up the question of fornication about this, but the answer to fornication is always the same. It's also an F word. It's called forgiveness. The Bible clearly lists three grounds of divorce, no more, no less. Listen at them. Number one is death. Some of you are praying for death right now, aren't you? Bless your heart. God may have a sense of humor and answer your prayer, but it might be you that dies. Lord, would you kill her so I can get another one? Well, if she's that bad, I wouldn't want another one. Like, just life wouldn't make no sense, would it? I had a lady in this church tell me one time, this is when I was still young. She said, "You just don't know. I hear you preach on marriage. I'm married to an idiot." I said, "Well, I didn't marry him." She said, "What am I supposed to do about it?" What therefore have God? But on the other hand, the lady came to me one time and said, "My husband's beating me." I said, "Leave." He called me on the phone. He said, "You ain't no Bible-believing preacher." I said, "I don't care what you say about me." I said, "But I'll tell you this, you won't do me like you done her." And I said, "I'm right here for you to do it." "Where are you going to be at?" "Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Sunday night, 6, and Wednesday night at 7 at that time." I said, "I'll be right there. You come on in and do exactly what you did to her to me." I didn't tell him I had all y'all behind me. Didn't have to. He's afraid of men. And most men that beat women, you are nothing but a chump.
That's right. That's right.
And when you go to prison, you ain't going to be a chump. Are you? You're going to be a punk. And if you don't know what that means, you ask Bubba when you get there. He'll tell you.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Bubba's got some work needs to be done when he gets there, and you're going to be the one he's going to pick. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I didn't believe all that till I went to prison. I said, "Man, they really do that stuff down here." In fact, they'll kill you down at Dutchman. I've seen people try to do that before. In fact, I was almost going to be a victim one time. You know, when you're tough and you're behind the pulpit and you say anything, God says, "You will say that about Allah again." I said, "Allah ain't no God." He come charging like a rhino. 30 convicts saved my life that night. I said, "Where were the guards?" "They're like the police here. They'll come, but they're not right there when you need them." And they really don't allow you to carry a gun in there, so I stuck. There's one guy that you know looked at them other 30 guys and went like that, and they jumped on him. I thought, that guy right there, he's connected, boy. I thought that man wants to be in prison because he wants to be here. Not he'd do this and they'd let him out. Ain't that something? But watch this thing here. Death is one of them. Romans 7, 1 through 4. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak unto them that know the law, as the law hath dominion of man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound to the law, to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband." Don't say amen right there. "So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Now, let me point something out to you. He's talking about the law and Christ there. But at the same time, If you think you will be eternally married, you are a Mormon. That's who teaches that. Ain't that convenient? You become a god, you have all these wives, and you populate a planet with your children. I got a question for you. I've been riding around the last couple weeks. Did you populate this crowd with your crowd? Please don't do that again, whatever it was. Let's get a smarter one this time. These people don't think about this stuff when they say it and teach us stuff. But if you ask one of those morons, they're going to tell you, oh, well, we don't believe that. Yeah, you do. I own all three books that two of them your guys wrote, and one of them was found a golden plate that two of the chapters are word for word this one. And y'all lie. You are a liar, and the truth ain't in you. Eternally married. Listen to this. Do you think that wouldn't be bad some of y'all because y'all love each other so? How about eternal mother-in-law? How does that fit you? How about eternal father-in-law? How does that grab you? And how about this? How about an eternal son-in-law to go with that one that's yours? Oh, no, 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 we can't have that in heaven. That would be heaven! That'd be more like the other place. I believe you go to hell. Listen, if you go to hell, your mother-in-law's going to be in your face the rest of eternity. Ain't that something? But it said if her husband be dead, she's free from the law. Then 1 Corinthians 7:39 says that the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. He says, I get to pick. I get to pick this one, only in the Lord. The second cause is fornication. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So fornication is the second cause. Now, if you walk in and that thing's happening, or if it happened before and they told you they wasn't like that, you have grounds biblically. Not to kill them, by the way. Let me say that again. Till death do us part means God makes him die, not you. Oh, there's one running out right now. Bless your heart. I ain't even got to the good part yet. But be sure she listens to the rest of this on the way home, okay, brother? Don't tell her I said that. Tell her you said it. Now, the third part that shows in the Bible is desertion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, listen to these words right here. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us unto peace. Ain't that something there? So God says if they leave, he said if they leave their what? Their spouse. He said if they leave their spouse, they are L-O-S-T lost. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart, right? So I'm going to quote a man that led Brother Ben to the Lord, Brother Fred. Brother Fred's at this man's house, and he's trying to talk to this man, or it might have been a woman, him and another guy was there. I don't even remember who it was. I don't know. And please don't come to me later and say it was me he was talking to, because I don't want to know that, because I won't be able to tell the stories good. But he said that he asked the woman or the man which one there. They said, yeah, I left. What of it? And he just said this, are you lost? You're a lost person, right? I ain't lost. No, I'm saved. He said, well, you're acting like a lost person. Got that verse out and showed it to him. That's what lost people do. Now, I don't know if they ever went back or not, but I got to thinking about that. That is something right there. If the unbelieving depart. So what does that mean? That means if I see it happen, I know how to pray for that person now. So what if you're wrong? God will fix it anyway. God told me to pray, not to be exact in my prayer, just pray. He'll take care of the details. He needs my time. He'll take care of the details. Listen, I pray for people in this church, Lord, help their backslidden condition, bless their heart, and then they come forward and get saved somewhere or here or something. Do you think I'm sitting back saying, well, Lord, I prayed the other. No, I don't care. I'm fine with that. Get right with God. Yeah, right. And besides, that ain't the first time I missed in a prayer closet. But I keep on shooting. Because that's what you do. You just keep on. In the case of the unbelieving depart, the Bible tells us this. They're not under such bondage and so forth like that. But he says, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. And he goes on down and deals with this stuff and makes this statement here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28, but, and if thou marry. Now, this is inspired. It's what we're looking at in Mark 10. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. We have been labeled in society over the last 100 years as looking down on folks who divorce. There was an article in the Spartanburg Herald Journal, which, by the way, is a liberal rag, and you can tell them I said so. I don't subscribe. Not going to. So why not? Do y'all think the New York Times is a good paper? Of course not. They're a liberal rag, right? Guess who owns them? Well, you talking about the Herald. Yeah, I'm talking about the Herald. That thing ain't good enough to line your dog crate with. Amen. Now listen, I don't have a subscription. I ain't buying ads. So I don't care if you tell them tonight and send them the tape. You understand? I don't care. I've lost nothing with them. But I do know this. If the Bible says that, and it's that plain, they ran an article in the 90s saying that Baptist churches wouldn't let you sing in the choir if you were divorced, that we were so strict on it. Some of you, like myself, grew up in a Baptist church similar to this one. Did anybody grow up something different? Let me just show you this. Anybody? You were Methodist. Anybody else? A Methodist and a Baptist walked in the liquor store. One of them said his name. The other one didn't. Guess which one was the Baptist? That's the joke they tell about us, right? So get all that out of the way. Well, they about the same. Whatever. Did they allow divorced people in your choir when you was growing up? Or did y'all ostracize them and push them out of the building?
I was young enough not to know.
Okay. I'll let you slide tonight then, since you won't tell me the truth. But listen to this. Where I grew up at was right up the road up there at Berry Memorial. We didn't ask people at the choir door, now are you married or divorced? Not one time. To my knowledge, we've never did that here, even before I got here. When I read that article, I called 15 different pastors in there and asked them the same thing. They grew up in churches just like this. They pastored a church just like this. Did you let divorced people sing in the choir? They said, we read that too. Who does that? I've never met them. Now, if I thought they were bad then, lying like that, wonder what I thought the day somebody was in the hospital having work done, and a nurse come in there, you know, like he is, and going to talk to her parents over there that he is having the same procedure done, and she got the joking and carrying on, and I said, what do you do here? She said, I'm the COVID nurse. COVID nurse. I had the Spartanburg Herald in my hand with an article that said 275 people was in that hospital with COVID and 273 was unvaccinated. You're killing America. You're keeping the pandemic alive. So I asked COVID nurse, how many patients you got today? She said, sir, honestly, I have none. That's why I'm able to stay here and talk with y'all. Now you know why I call that bunch of rag. I mean, like in Isaiah that time, you throw them on the fire, they're worthless. Now listen, I have never seen a divorced person treated badly because they're divorced in a Baptist church ever in my life. Has it happened somewhere? I'm sure it has. But based on your testimony, you haven't seen it either, right? You've heard somebody say it though, right? Oh, down at such and such church. I walked in, I was divorced. They told me to get out. I don't believe a word of that. Well, they wouldn't let me sit on the front row. I don't believe that either. Baptist churches are full from the fourth row back, not the fourth row forward. I don't believe it. This one here is what you call the exception to the rule. If I come in late, I don't get the back row. I go to the front. Unless there's a special singing, and then they front rows diesel snippers up there. You can't get near the group, you know. But I look at all that stuff and I say, you know what? Somebody hadn't went to the Bible with all this stuff. Somebody hadn't looked at the scriptures to see what the master had to say. I think it's a shame that people get treated like that. But I think there's another thing going on here other than that. I think the difference in being a divorced and remaining married is just simple. Three things. Number one is when the husband quits saying and thinking divorce. Now listen to me carefully. I got married in 1990-something or other. It's 91, honey. I'm just joking with them. You're not here to back me up and to correct me. I happen to know it's 1991. You know why? My daddy told me and he was there. What are you talking about? That's my best man.
Amen.
When did I get married again? Oh, yeah. I'll tell that tonight. Okay. But listen. Every time we got in an argument, my answer was, well, do you want a divorce? You know why I was like that? Because everybody I knew did that. Everybody. What about your Christian friends? Didn't have none. All my people were lost people. All my friends were lost friends. Until I got in church and miraculously half of them went to church every day. Let's do some LSD on Friday night and sing Jesus Saves Sunday morning. Lord God have mercy. Surely you wasn't that bad of a hypocrite. Or are that bad. Secondly, it takes a wife who stops saying and thinking divorce. My wife looked at me one day and said this. She said, you keep saying that over and over, but you're stuck, big boy, because I ain't going to do it.
Amen.
I thought, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do past that. Every argument I ever heard was ended on that one. Now what do you do? I ain't talking about some of you's been mistreated in marriage, and I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about a good woman that never did nothing wrong to me, looked at me and said that. What am I supposed to say? I was the bad guy. I ain't going to deny it. So I quit saying it. Now we discuss till death do us part, but we don't talk about divorce no more. We've come close to murder a time or two here and there, but, you know. But thirdly, it takes a holy God to be in that marriage to make it. There was a guy that worked up Hames Music, was going through a divorce, and I first got in the ministry, and he pulled me aside, and I said, he was asking me to pray for himself. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yes. I said, are you through with your divorce and everything? He said, yes, I'm through with it now. I said, tell me one thing I can tell everybody else that will help them, either to stay married or when they get married to stay married, whatever. He said, marriage does not take two, it takes three. I'm young, I'm 24 years old. And I said, so father, mother, and the children? He said, no, husband, wife, God. I said, what happened in your case? He said, it was wife, God, and I was the guy that would agree to all that. I said, what you going to do now? He said, well, I got saved. Now I see it now. But it's too late for me. But maybe somebody else can be helped by that. For those of you, listen, for those of you that are contemplating divorce, don't do it. If you can all help it, don't do it. But if you are divorced and you get remarried, I just read you, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Don't let anybody dictate to you anything with an isolated passage of Scripture to hold you in bondage that they themselves will not live under. And that's what happens. It's like this. I've got friends that 20 years ago preached the paint off the wall. They did. They was against everything. But when their kids got it old enough to either become a sodomite or a liberal, now them things are okay. Why? Because the kids done them. Thank God for them preacher friends 20 years ago that when their kids went liberal, you know what they said? You can do that, but you won't be preaching in my pulpit. And they ain't let them yet. And ain't went to preach for them. Did you know that Dennis Carter never had his daddy preach for him? And he never preached for his daddy. Ain't that something? Here's another one. When your kids get into sin, that don't mean it's okay. I had a man used to sit in this church. He said, I don't like how you preach on sodomites and call them faggots, queers, whatever you call them. You know, I said to him, I said, you wouldn't be like that if your son wasn't like that. Well, he probably gets mistreated in every church he goes. No, he's a song leader in one of them Protestant churches, and they know he's one of them, and they're okay with it. Because I preach against it, I'm the bad guy. Guess what? from the beginning it was not so. He created them male and female. I'll stand by it. So what if your kids does it that way? If they survive me beating them half to death, then they can do whatever they want to.
That's right, preacher.
See, he told me that. If you want to be like that, you can be one if you want to, but I'm going to beat you half to death, then you can go be one. Fear alone has kept me on the right path ever since, amen. That and I've never found a good-looking man. Amen and amen. I would tell you what Dr. Robbins said about it, but I'm too much of a gentleman to say what he said about it. Some of y'all already know. But I look at this thing and I say, you know what? If we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, it really don't matter, does it? Keep the thing in the road. Keep going for the Lord. Don't let the devil distract you with things. And if you don't have any of them three causes there, don't seek it. Okay? So what was it again? It was death and something else. I just remember the death part because that's the way mine told me I could get out. Them other two don't matter. Death's how I got to go. I've always told her, I hope I go first. You know why? I want her to have to figure all that stuff out after I go. Hey, man, listen, be, you know, I want her to figure out. I don't want to do all that. But I'll probably have to do all that. But anyway, what I'm telling you tonight is we don't avoid subjects in the Bible. We teach them as they stand. As they stand right there in Scripture. So is divorce okay? Well, Jesus just says for the hardness of your heart. Is your heart that hardened? It can be made that way through another person doing that to you. That's at all possible. And if you don't believe that, listen, just ask some people who's been through it. It's hard. It's hard on people. I mean, we've seen it here in this very church go through that stuff. And the bad thing about it is it all comes back to the same thing. What that man told me up there all them years ago, it takes three. Husband, wife, and the Lord. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.